Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Well, it couldn't last forever.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The stock market's been red hot for weeks. The Dow on Wednesday had its 21st record close of the year, but things are turning colder. Yesterday, I think there were icicles on Wall Street. The Dow lost 147 points to 13,215. It's the biggest drop in 2 months. The NASDAQ lost 42 to 2533. The S&P 500 was down 21 points to 1491. Asia and Europe are dropping today, too. Japan's Nikkei fell more than 1%. Europe's down more than 0.5% in early trading. There are secret moves going on in Europe to challenge the dominance of MasterCard and Visa. Reuters says a group of European banks is planning its own debit card. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The banks include Société Générale of France and Deutsche Bank of Germany. According to Reuters, they're unhappy that a US-based company like MasterCard or Visa could monopolize the business of cross-border payments in Europe. Big changes are underway here. New rules have just been adopted, making cross-border banking transactions quicker and cheaper. The European banks fear that MasterCard and Visa could dominate the field, so they want to set up their own pan-European debit card. Steve Timewell is editor of the Banker magazine.
All this is part of a wider move for banks to get as close to customers as is possible and not have any intermediaries. They don't want to have a middleman taking a slice of the action.
News of the planned pan-European card will be most unwelcome to MasterCard, which has been hoping to establish Maestro as the main cross-border debit card in Europe. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Europe has a cocaine problem. At a conference this week in Spain, drug officials said they were facing a new wave of coke from South America. Vicky Burnett's a reporter with the International Herald Tribune. She's in Madrid. Vicky, what's going on here?
In a conversation I had yesterday with Karen Tandy, the head of the DEA, she said that drug traffickers from Latin America are now focusing on the European market for more than one reason. One, the appetite for cocaine in Europe, which has taken off. The other thing is that the euro's strength against the dollar has risen enormously over the last 2 years. So if you sell a kilo of cocaine on the streets in Europe now, you're likely to make about $50,000 versus about $30,000 on the streets in the U.S.
Well, how are the South American drug dealers getting the cocaine to Europe?
What seems to be emerging, in addition to the traditional routes, the new sort of shipping hub emerging is Africa. The Latin American traffickers have allied with syndicates existing in Africa. There's already quite a sophisticated infrastructure of drug trafficking on that continent.
So with all this new attention focused on the South America to Europe trade, what does this mean for the American market?
There has been a fall in cocaine consumption in the American market. But at the same time, they're still concerned about this emergence of Africa as a hub for drug shipments because Africa is being used as a springboard, as strange as it may sound, to send drugs to the United States. Stuff may be shipped out of Brazil, brought to Africa, and then from there go up to the U.S.
All right, Vicky, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Vicky Burnett in Madrid. She's with the International Herald Tribune.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Ladies, I don't know how you do it. Wear high heels. It hurts just looking at those things. Well, there's a company in New Hampshire that believes it has the answer to your aching, aching feet. Our reporter Pat Loeb went in search of women who might enjoy something like this.
15, 20 minutes after I'm wearing heels, my feet will start to hurt.
They make your feet burn, the bottom of your feet burn.
Well, my toes start to cling together.
And you gotta walk so carefully.
What would I do for comfortable high heels?
What wouldn't we women do for comfortable high heels? That's why Brian Hughes suddenly finds himself so popular. More popular than when he created rocket engines or laid the first transatlantic fiber optic cable. It wasn't until he casually mentioned one day at lunch that he was considering investing in a company that would make high heels comfortable that his business interests aroused real passion.
And this woman leans over and grabs me by the lapel and says, "I need these shoes."
The company is called Insolia. It's actually the brainchild of a podiatrist, Dr. Howard Dannenberg. Hughes says it was Dannenberg who figured out that everything women were doing to make their high heels bearable was wrong.
People have been sticking in various kinds of forefoot pads, hoping that this would relieve the pain. The real insight of Dr. Dannenberg was realizing that while the pain is at the ball of the foot, the solution is at the heel.
Insolia is a small piece of sculpted plastic that goes in the back of the shoe and redistributes the weight on your foot to keep it from sliding forward. That's what makes high heels painful. Hughes drew on his MIT background to figure out the design and materials that allow Dannenberg's insight to be packaged and sold to consumers. He says for an engineer, it was an irresistible problem.
Okay, high heels have been around for 400 years, and no one solved this problem. And if we solve it, there'll be a lot of happy women as a result.
I asked Marketplace's Michelle Filippi to try it out. She has a pair of shoes that are so painful, she had to get her boyfriend to wheel her home in a shopping cart one night.
I put them in my pink stilettos this weekend.
And how did it work?
Well, my feet still hurt a little bit, but I could have walked home. I wouldn't need to be pushed home in a shopping cart this time.
I've seen these shoes. That's a ringing endorsement. I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagal. Thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend.
I've got those happy feet. Give them a low-down beat, and they begin dancing. I've got those 10 little tapping toes, and when they hear a tune, I can't control my dancing heels to save my soul. Weary blues.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.